Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
All right, welcome to the week. It is a Tuesday here on Fesco and Dusty. Hope you all had a great Memorial weekend. It was a good time to have off, up until about yesterday when it was just a monsoon for the entire day, but that's okay. Hopefully you had, somewhere to be covered up if you had outside events. If not, hopefully you just kicked back and relaxed.
So. Yeah, I had not received so many texts from so many different people about yesterday just being a total disaster.
Damn rain, man.
It's like, everyone's like, oh, this weather sucks. And like, it sent people to the Walmart. That's how bad it was, you know? Like, I better go look at cleaning supplies at Walmart or wherever the hell it was. But yesterday, man, it did. It washed it out yesterday, made a whole kind of just feeling around town, I think, yesterday for that Memorial Day weekend. But here we are, man. It's like officially, unofficially, the start of summer. Start taking baseball little bit more serious of what's going on the baseball field. The basketball stuff is kind of reaching a crescendo right now. So here we are. Before you know it, we'll be in St. Joe for camp in the regular season will start. We talked to Richard last night, divvied up the Chiefs tickets. So, I mean, it's happening faster, man. We're under 100 days to the start of the NFL regular season. So let's get after it, baby.
We're under 100?
Well, I guess. I think what we were at 105 on Friday or something like that. So, I'm you know, here we're close to, you know, 100 and you know, whatever it may be, 100 days, roughly 99 days to the start of the NFL regular season. So, I mean, we're moving fast, man. It's going a little bit too fast, I think. But anyway, just enjoy your summer. It's here.
Yeah, because Kansas kids are out. School's done. Yep. Been done.
Yep, school is done, and they're on to whatever life is in the summertime and doing their thing and all that kind of stuff. And so
I think this is the last week for a lot of kids in Missouri. Maybe I'm wrong there.
I think you're right. I think this week or next week, yeah.
Nothing can be accomplished when word is out that you're the only district.
100 days today to the start of the NFL season. Perfect. So 101 days for the Chiefs, 100 days to that Thursday night opener. So
101
days, yes. Good Lord.
Who's your favorite Dalmatian?
My favorite Dalmatian is the one that rides in the Budweiser commercial that waves at the horses that was like friends with them when they were little and then they refueled their
solid
friendship.
One.
You know, that's my favorite Dalmatian. Who's yours?
Pongo. He's the leader of the pack, man. Pongo and Purdy, man. You didn't get anywhere if you didn't have Pongo there.
Nathan, you got a favorite Dalmatian as we talked this morning? Yeah. He's looking up a name.
No, good morning. I think we've exhausted my list of famous Dalmatians.
Oh, it's over. It's done.
We're in third, kind of screwed.
What about that
Dusty
one?
Took mine. That one with Cruella DeVille, whatever Dalmatian that was, is your favorite one, right?
There you go. No, I got the movie title reference, but other than the Budweiser one, yeah, I'm at a loss.
Yeah, okay. There's not a lot of famous Dalmatians out there. Yeah, I'm with Nathan on that one. If you would have
nailed it, if you'd have been like Spots. Not arguing.
That one down at the firehouse there. That's my favorite Dalmatian. Do they still hang out with the firemen? Do we still have Dalmatians? Is that still a thing? I mean, I don't know.
We need to shed more light on the Dalmatians, I guess.
Yes.
Good thing those could you imagine those people had 101 dogs today's world?
Oh my God, I can imagine having more than two in today's world. But anyway, so the Dalmatian time. So
yeah, no, but no, I think that's interesting that you'd say that the summer's here, because like that's always how I take this weekend. It's kind of like, all right, let's get into the swing of things. Like I was talking to some buddies of mine that have kids. They're like, yeah, like we're lucky, like they got summer school coming up. I'm like getting older, and I said to myself, it's like, is summer school, do you have to pay for that? Like, nope. I'm like, oh, so it's a free 2 weeks where you take your kids to get, you know, I don't know, like, I guess. I didn't know how to pay for it. So
usually you have to pay for everything, because I know my wife teaches summer school, and it's not cheap, and it's not free, you know?
Yeah, as teachers aren't voluntarily doing that.
No.
But now it's like that sort of conversation starts next week. These people are going on vacation. Next month I'll be going on vacation. You start planning, you're going to be going on vacation.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, like you said, we're 100 days away from the NFL. Baseball's starting to kind of matter more. You're past the 50-game threshold. Mm-hmm. You've now kind of gotten to see what everything is. And then there's this kid in Omaha that's just, you know, turning everybody's attention towards him.
And I think that's where the attention for the Royals is now. I think people have seen what they've seen with this baseball team, right? Mm. We understand where this team is right now,
historically bad offensively.
Very bad offensively. It's getting to the point, like, they won a game 2-1 over the weekend. I mean, and that's pathetic when you have to win games, you know, that way. They do, and it happens, and it's against the Twins and then the Reds yesterday and whatnot. And so, yeah, historically bad from an offensive standpoint. There's no arguing that right now, but I think people understand where this team is right now. I think we're looking at a team that's unbelievable when it comes to the pitching side of things. I mean, could we get more dominating performances? Like, when was the last time we didn't have a good start by a starter, other than yesterday was a very meh start by Michael Lorenzen? But I mean, Bubic continues to do his thing, and you continue to see these guys light up the scoreboard from a pitching standpoint. The bullpen has been really good, you know, for this organization. They just can't get out of their own way from an offensive standpoint. I think that's got a little fans right now. I'll use the term dusty, and we can talk more about this as the morning rolls along too, but purgatory for fans right now, because they look at a team that's three games over 500, but they also look at a team that is very kind of, all right, average at this point in time because of where the offense is right now. And, you know, three games over 500 is nice, but you're still six games back in the standings to a team that has, you know, been 15 games over 500 now in the Detroit Tigers. And I think people are starting to realize, okay, that's the best team maybe besides the Yankees in baseball right now. And I watched Skubal pitch the other day, and I mean, that was like, why did I torment myself? You know, I'm like, what am I doing here? Just mowing everybody down and looking like, you know, Greg Maddux back in the day.
Yeah,
like,
what do you go? Complete game, 13 strikeouts, 14 strikeouts, something like that.
Yeah, three hits, and it was under 2 hours.
Cy Young's over.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the Cy Young Award, and Aaron Judge has got the MVP. There's no reason to compete for anything like that.
You guys
in
see the last pitch
right
the
now.
Last pitch of the game was the hardest pitch of his career.
Yeah, it was insane. Oh, like, I mean, like, just watching that guy pitch, it was magical. And so you're starting to see things like that, and you're realizing, okay, without an infusion on offense, whether it come from a bat outside the organization, Jack Caglione, whatever it is, it's hard, I think, for a lot of fans to truly buy in right now of where they are offensively, because they know if we don't score at least four runs in a game, we're probably not going to win that day's game. And I think that's where fans are right now. This is fun. This is nice. But now we're past Memorial Day. It is time to take that next step for the Royals as a front office, because the guys on the field right now are doing everything they're capable of doing, right? Mm-hmm. We can't ask people to do more than what they're capable of doing. Now is the time where you get that infusion to this lineup, which brings, you know, excitement for the fans, but also brings excitement for those guys inside that locker room and say, okay, we're starting to see some of these reinforcements get here to help us, because right now they are really struggling from an offensive standpoint. I know that's not breaking any, you know, barriers or anything like that, but from an offensive standpoint, now as we head into June, it starts to get more magnified, because we're already 2 months into this season. We're more than a third of the way through the season Ryan was talking about yesterday, and we're 100 days away from the start of the football season. It's now go time in these next 100 days for the Royals.
No doubt. I think because we've used Caglione as a Christmas gift analogy, that it's under the tree. It's been under there since December 1st, but now you've kind of lost control of your children.
Yeah, you have.
And
yeah.
You have to suffice to whatever it may be, and it's probably around December 19th. Let's say, obviously, the Christmas is 6 days away, and you're like, honey, I can't take it. I lost control. Let's just give them one,
mm-hmm.
and we'll see if that gets us to Christmas.
Right.
And now you're starting to debate whether you give them that gift that kind of like, we'll, you know, play them out for another 4 or 5 days, because Biggio gets demoted.
Mm-hmm.
Fan base loves that because they want to see Rave come up and hit.
Right.
All right, there's Rave. Renfro's demoted. Fan base is happy with that.
Bring up Lofton.
Right. Okay, we're cool with that.
Yep.
Still, nothing's really changed. And unfortunately, like being historically bad, you need to have something change that immediately. It's like being, you know, your whole lifetime you've been fat and you got on the scale and you're like, I only lost 5 pounds. Like, I really tried this week. And you're like, well, you got to kind of keep
it. You lost
5 pounds
in a week. That's pretty damn good. I'll take that.
We'll say a month. So then you're like, all right, like, damn, man, I want more results.
Yeah.
And then you start doing something different. You're like, okay, well, there's another 2 pounds. Okay, that's your two players just got called up. You're like, but I need to do something drastic and I need something that'll be impactful. And I think that's what Caglione is. And I think it's coming. Again, he'll be in Omaha this week. Gold and I are going Friday. I'm going to take the kid down to Omaha, or up to Omaha, I guess I should say. Going to watch the games Friday and Saturday. I don't know how long he'll be in Omaha, but obviously over the weekend, we'll get into it a little bit more of what he could mean to this franchise. I know he's not going to be the savior. I listened to Vern yesterday on the way home.
And that's the thing with this offense being the way it is right now. The second you bring him up, all the pressure in the world is on this kid. I still think it benefits them to go out of the organization, try to make that move. But as I was talking to a buddy of mine about yesterday, he's like, who's that guy? I'm like, that's exactly the problem. You know, there are teams in baseball, the Royals being one of them, that are ready to make a move. The problem is nobody's ready to make moves. It's not our day back in the 80s and 90s and even the early 2000s where teams were willing to trade. It is so hard to make moves now in Major League Baseball, but the Royals do have something that everybody wants, and that's pitching, man.
Sure.
And they're going to have to deal from their strength to make this ball club better. So you're going to bring up Cags eventually at some point. He can't be the savior. You still need to supplement him with a bat outside this organization, because now it's go time. Let's see what you're really about. You've got 100 days until football kicks off, and a lot's going to be determined over these next 100 days with this ball club.
No, I think that it's fine, too, to go back and look at what, you know, you say Cags to be the savior and Vern says to be the savior. Caglione has already proven 3 times that the savior mentality and the pressure mentality does not add up to him. And I'll give you all 3 examples. Spring training, right? Made it all the way to the final roster. Everyone said, oh yeah, he looks good early. It's, you know, it's spring training. The ball flies out. Prove that. Okay. Prove it to me again. Double A, 322 average, 9 home runs, led the Texas League in RBIs. Okay. This guy's good, too good for Double A. Let's bring him to Triple A. First actual look at AAA baseball during the season, 5 home runs in 4 days.
Yeah, it's been crazy, man. It's been a wild run. No, but I don't know that it'll affect him per se, but it's going to affect the fan base. And the fan base is going to have an expectation that's going to be, no matter what he does, it's too much to try to live up to. Fans are going to expect him to go 5 for 5 and 3 at-bats and hit 6 home runs. Like, that's going to be the pressure on him. And when he gets up there every single time, it's going to be like, all right, you need to hit a 5-run homer here, because we're not scoring any runs. And it's going to be left up to him to go out there and hit these runs in the fan mindset. Meanwhile, you still have Salvi not being able to get the job done. Vinny is hit or miss at times. Where's Bobby Whip in lately? He's hitting like 294 or something like that.
Game history.
Yeah,
having 350 in May.
Yeah, he's starting to pick it up a little bit, but he's still hit or miss. It's not been a consistent at bat, you know, all season long for Vinny Pasquantino. Your most consistent guy, I think, has been your center fielder, but he's been sick over the last couple of days.
Michael,
have him out of the lineup. No, I'm talking about Isbell and then Michael as well. You're getting production from him, but it just hasn't been that steady production that you need. There hasn't been that big bat to break open that inning to give yourself the opportunity to win a game, and that's ultimately what they're lacking right now. So like we've been saying, it's go time. It's time now. The page is flipped. It is now officially the baseball season. All the early is out of the way. Now we're going to start talking about who you are, where you are, and where you need to go over these next couple of months until we get closer to that football season.
Coming up on the other side, we'll get to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Plus, Bob went bananas this weekend. We'll explain on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Moving right along on a Tuesday. It's hard because I want to say Monday so bad, but I got to fight myself every time. Tuesday.
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 That's right.
Big Tuesday. Wait,
Does he do Tuesday like you do
Nathan,
Tuesday?
Nathan, I don't know if he does anymore.
He's like, better believe it.
I heard about a segment we've got later this morning. It
piques
my interest.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The Tuesday's threesome, yeah.
You got a lady, man. Yeah,
Tuesday's
your day.
The day, man. You Tuesday know? Is I'll the day. It's the least suspecting day of the week, man. It's a nice surprise on a Tuesday.
Like one of these mentors in my life told me Tuesdays are supposed to be meant for couples.
That's right. Tuesday. Tuesday, Tuesday, baby. Tuesday.
Do you think that it'll be received when I go home as a nice surprise, like you just said?
Oh, I would hope so. She loves you. Hell yeah. It should be like, okay. Hey, baby, here's what we're going to do. Tuesday's one of these days now that's just going to be for us. Everybody does it on Friday and Saturday. Do it on a Tuesday.
I used to like to do it on Wednesday.
Wednesday's a good day, too.
Because of what they call Wednesday. We had Adam Viron on Friday, director of operations for the Bananas, the Savannah Bananas. How was
it? It was unbelievable. Yeah. It was unbelievable. Use the term game. I wouldn't
don't
use
be hyperbolic.
Yeah, no. I wouldn't use the term game. I've been to a lot of Broadway. I've been to a lot of concerts. Right. I've been to a lot of sporting events in my entire life. It's one of the best shows I've ever seen. And I'm talking, it is a show. It is not a baseball game, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's where people get kind of like warped by this. They think they're going to watch a baseball game, but you're not going to watch a baseball game. You're going to watch a show that has baseball sprinkled in. Right. And I got a text from a friend of mine who kind of set this whole thing up behind the scenes for us to have Adam in and the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. And he texted me right before the event the other night, and he said, he goes, all right, be ready for your mind to just go crazy because you're not going to know where to look. And he was right about that, right? Like the gates open and they immediately start entertaining you. 6:30, they kind of do the player introduction, Super Bowl style and all that kind of stuff. And you know, you get to the start of the quote-unquote game at 7 o'clock, and they have a countdown clock for 2 hours. 9 o'clock, it's over and you're on your way, right? And it's just constant entertainment the entire time. There's singing, there's dancing, there's skits, there's all kinds of unbelievable stuff intermixed with some baseball that is going on out there on the field. And I will say this, I mean, it was one of the best times I've ever had. I mean, it was just absolutely enthralling. The music was point. It was the players, performances were outstanding. The baseball play was really good as well. It's one of those things that I'm glad I did. I don't think that I need to go again, you know, to see something like that. I went one time and I saw the show and I got an opportunity to be part of that. And it was unbelievable, man. Like it blew out the expectations that I had for that event. I never thought I was going to see something like that. And it was just from start to finish entertainment the entire time. And the best part about it is the guys that were performing had fun too. And they were with the fans and they were hanging out with the people, coming into the crowd in between innings, signing autographs, doing the whole nine yards. And I mean, you talk about Fans First is what they call their company, and they are right about that, man. Fans get a great opportunity to have an unbelievable time. The first kid who caught a foul ball in the stands, they took him down onto the field. I mean, it was a marvelous opportunity to see, you know, just something special. And that's what it was. It was awesome. If you ever get the opportunity to go see the Savannah Bananas, go see the Savannah Bananas.
Now, did you think the Royals game was going to have the same stuff the next day you watched? Mm-hmm. Okay, just making sure.
I did. Yeah, I thought for sure there would be a guy on stilts and, you know,
they're not
guys
going to understand what goes on in baseball games. Yeah. They don't watch bananas.
Right, backflips in the outfield. Like, I still don't understand people saying that. I mean, yeah, Dyson would kind of do that stuff. Ozzie Smith back in the day, you know, would do that kind of stuff at shortstop and, you know, have fun with it. But they keep you on your toes. They keep you entertained the entire time. There's some stuff that I looked at and I went, okay, Major League Baseball could do this, like, I don't know, just being with the fans. Like, there's no reason baseball players can't hang out in the crowd with the fans before the game. There isn't. Like, baseball, I think baseball's biggest problem is they take themselves too seriously, right? Of all the sports you look at, what sport takes themselves too seriously? It's baseball. Everything's very serious in baseball. And the Savannah Banana Show, it doesn't need to be that way. You can have a lot of fun. You can have music playing during the game. You can have the players interacting with the fans and doing that kind of stuff. Because that's ultimately what makes, you know, fans fans. As a kid, you have an interaction with somebody. You got your first autograph. You always remember who that is, right? And that's going to be one of the things that you look at and you think about for your entire life. And the Bananas do a great job of connecting with the fans. I've never seen anything like it in my entire life. It was marvelous.
This weekend, the Royals were, in Minnesota, and it wasn't really that great, but there was good, there was bad, there was ugly. We can start with the good.
Yeah.
Right? Not necessarily that, you know, they listen to the people, but they've read the writing in the lineups, and they've seen what the lineup was, and as you had put in here, Renfro is gone, Biggio is in AAA, Rave is up, and Frazier is, or Lofton is up. And look, I don't know if these are the guys that answer your calls, but I think that the realization that we talked about earlier in the show about the, you know, the 50 game mark is passed, the third of the season is done. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden, I'm not saying that you have to do standing watch, but I think that they are tied with Houston when it comes to the wild card. But you got to kind of think Detroit's doing what they want to do. And if you want to have some sort of conversation of being in the room, you've got to win a little bit more. You got to hit a little bit more. You got to make your roster as crisp as possible. So the good this weekend was you did cut weight with Hunter Renfro. You did move up Rave, and you got Lofton on this team. We know another name that's possibly to come up soon. We'll right. get to him a little bit later because, you know, I'm not shy about talking about it. But that was the good this weekend.
Yeah, it really was. And I think that's really good from a big picture standpoint, too, of where this organization is, especially with John Sherman, you know, as the owner of this team, because he's allowing the organization to go out there and say, hey, we spent bad money on Hunter Renfro. Let's get rid of Hunter Renfro. And that's about $4.5 million that they're going to eat probably yeah. the rest of the season on Hunter Renfro. They ate $4.5 million on that Sam Long or whoever that was. They got rid of, you know, 2 weeks ago. So, that's money that you still have to pay out that is now considered dead money. It's useless money, but you still have to pay that out. And for so many times, you know, with this organization and the Glass era specifically, they weren't allowed to make moves because, well, they didn't want to pay somebody not to do anything. And so John Sherman is showing that he's willing to move on from players, and it doesn't matter if they're making a nice chunk of change. If they're not productive, they're not productive, and we need to move on from them. And I think that's the really good thing, you know, for this organization, because the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. The Royals aren't doing that. They're making roster moves, right? They're out there trying with everything that they have at their disposal at this point in time to try to get better. They're not just sitting back and go, well, Hunter Renfro is going to play because he's making money. No, Hunter Renfro is not getting the job done. Let's bring up somebody else, John Rave, and see if this guy can have the opportunity to get the job done. Or maybe it's Nick Lofton that can come up and potentially get the job done. They've given up on Hunter Renfro, and that's a really good thing. If guys aren't producing at this level, it is time to move on. And I think sometimes fans are like that meme, that worm meme with the stick that pokes at somebody and says, do something, you know? Well, the Royals did do something. They did a lot this past weekend in remaking this roster by bringing up two different bats that have been down in the minor leagues. And Rave has been dominating down in the minor leagues. Like, he's been one of the best hitters in all of minor league baseball. So it's good to get him up here to the big league level and see what he can do. Maybe we'll be raving about his performance over the next couple of weeks. I don't know. And Lofton as well has been an up and down type of guy. It's fun to get him back up to this level and give him an opportunity. But that's good news for the Royals, that they are willing to make these moves and not just sit back and let the salaries dictate what they, you know, they potentially could have done. And that would have been awesome.
Raving about his performance. Just once I knew it was coming.
Of course.
There's always one.
I want to rave about that guy yesterday, but so, you know.
Yeah, that's the
his
good.
His family was.
I would say the bad is 2 out of 3 to a division opponent. That's yep. above you in the standings. Like, those are the ones. Like, I understand that Vern talked about yesterday's game is that was one of those, the 50 that you lose that you just throw away because it was, 6-0 in the third inning or something, right. And they lose 7-4. But that was one of those. But you, at some point, you got to beat these division teams. Because mm-hmm. luckily, right now, you got Cleveland playing the Dodgers, right. And Ohtani sees one pitch and hits it 500,000 feet.
Two days
right.
in a row, two yeah. leadoff home runs. It's unbelievable. Yeah,
greatest leadoff hitter in the history of the game. Sorry, yeah. Ricky Henderson.
Sorry.
But no, that's the bad. You're losing to divisions yeah. teams. You play Detroit, this weekend?
Mm-hmm.
And you play Cincinnati for two more. You got Singer today against Daniel Lynch. Hopefully this is the last bullpen game.
Right.
And then Reagans and Lugo are back.
Two guys from the same pledge class going out there
pretty
and pitching
hilarious
with each other.
Look at
it's
that.
Great, right? It's
thought
awesome.
That Lynch would be the one going out there with a 1.57 ERA and Brady Singer going out there with a 4.88.
Do we need a display for Brady Singer yesterday? What, like a hero's welcoming back? What exactly did he accomplish to deserve a video? I'm just asking out loud. Like, we don't need to celebrate. Like, we didn't have one for Garrett Hampson yesterday.
All right. In fairness to Brady Singer,
okay.
I will
it's,
say,
it's not a shot at Brady per se. Is like, I mean, maybe it is, but he was just a very average player here.
It was either game 3 or 4 of the ALDS. He came out of the pen in the bottom of the top of the 7th with guys on base, tie ball game, Aaron yep. Judge at the plate, and struck him out. Had the Royals come back to win that game, we'd be looking at Brady Singer a little bit differently, but we didn't. And so, yeah, there's no moment that sticks out.
Like, what's the Brady's? Like, what will you remember from the Brady Singer era, right?
He almost had one.
Well, he was the guy that I do remember because we were sitting in right field when the scuffle happened at second base with Chisholm. He was the first one sprinting out of the
All right, field. I like that. That's video tribute worthy. I'm in on that.
Yeah.
I think
I have it on my phone still. Yeah, the bullpen opens up, and it's Singer and his long neck just coming out. And I'm like, I know who that is. And I feel like he's the type of guy that'll flip a switch. I was kind of hoping, and I know this sounds terrible for people that are going because it's the Pasquatch necklace night tonight at the game, that the game would get rained out.
But it's not tonight. Yeah, no, but no, it would be. Yeah. I think once we get through this morning, it's supposed to be cloudy all day.
Yeah, it'd be fine.
But I love the Lynch Singer matchup. My God, they played the whole day yesterday. Well, the Reds don't come in town all the time, so we got to get these games in, and nobody wants to waste an off day on Thursday playing a makeup game. So we're gonna power through the drizzle.
Right. But I don't think Brady ever did anything horrible with the organization. Mm. Like, you look at guys maybe Nicky Lopez that left on maybe
bad
not the greatest
terms.
Right,
yeah. Whit Merrifield,
bad terms. Right, those kind of guys, it's like, oh, Whit's back. Like, sweet. That's awesome.
Right.
Brady Singer comes back. You were the first overall pick. We traded you for Jonathan India. You didn't really request a trade. You weren't absolutely, like, terrible. It just didn't work here. And you're here. So, I guess it's one of those things where it's so new and so fresh. Like, if we didn't play them for 2 or 3 years,
maybe not. Yeah.
But this is one of those things where it just seems like yesterday he was in this parking lot. Now he's pitching in this stadium. So it's kind of, it's still fresh enough to where you're, hey, thank you for the time.
Sure.
And go on and do your thing.
Yeah, I was thinking yesterday, I'm like, what was the Brady Singer moment here in Kansas City? And besides being a first-round pick and, you know, look, they did the right thing with Brady Singer. He had great value at the end of last season. They traded him for a position piece that they believe that they need. I will never fault the Royals for going out there and making that trade. And I think Jonathan India is ultimately going to be a very good player for this team and somebody that we're going to count on late in the season. They'd be in the exact same spot they'd be in right now if they had Brady Singer on this roster. They'd be no better with Brady Singer on this roster right now than where they are with Jonathan India, and that's 3 games over .500. Had they been hitting a little bit more, we wouldn't even know the Brady Singer name. Nobody would even be talking about him. You have 5 more wins or whatever it is on the season. We're talking about a team that's challenging for first place.
And then the ugly. No real hard place to look here. The ugly is the offense.
Yeah, offense.
I saw some numbers this weekend from Clubhouse Conversation, from Royals Review, from a lot of statisticians.
I'm trying to avoid them, too, because I know how bad they are.
Right.
I don't really want to see how bad they are.
One of the worst lineups since 1972.
Okay.
In baseball. It's historically bad. They out-hit the Twins this weekend. Uh-huh. They didn't out-produce them.
No.
So they're getting on base. The other thing that's ugly for me is base running.
Uh-huh.
And what Vern will tell you, and we'll ask Vern at 8:20 today, is this team is built on their foundations. Like, their core values are pitching, speed, defense, and base running. That's how they're going to win games.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to get on first. Bobby's going to knock him to third. Sack fly. Bobby's going to steal or do something, or whoever's out, they're going to run. Michael Garcia consistently gets thrown out on base, and it's frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we saw some plays the other night where other guys, Massey, getting, you know,
like, did
thrown
he forget
out
on, he was on first the other day and got picked
and
off?
Just,
like,
you know, Waters did it too. Yeah. It's like, guys, like, this is something that cannot be bad. Like, it'd be one thing if the bullpen was terrible, like, that's something that we need. Or if the starting pitching was awful and the hitting was awful, this team would be Baltimore.
Yeah, right.
And this team has to start taking advantage of guys on base, because I understand that people are sick to their stomach getting walked off. I know people are sick to their stomach that, you know, they don't hit a lot of home runs. They don't score. And when you hit and you get thrown out on base, you're really putting yourself into a deep hole, because you have to value these guys on base because you don't value them enough, apparently. And then when you get thrown out, you're just forfeiting that run, and it's frustrating, and it builds up because it adds on to what's all frustrating, because, oh, wow, we got a guy on second, thrown
was
out.
Was it yesterday, second and third, and nobody out, and they were not able to score a run yesterday?
The Twins. Yeah. They literally out-hit the Twins, and they got outscored. And it's one of those things where even I think the Royals and the Dodgers have somewhere around the same level of hits. But again, the Dodgers produce their runs. The Royals are not. The runs are there. They're not knocking them.
Yeah, you got to have that situational hitting. And I mentioned, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, hitting with runners on third base and less than two outs. About 2 weeks ago, they were 100 points in a batting average, lower than where they were a season ago. That's a big difference. When you look at the runner on third with less than two outs, you've got to drive that runner in. And right now, the Royals just aren't doing that. They've got to do better in those situations. They do better in that situation, they'll be much better from an offensive standpoint.
All right, let's get to some overreactions from over the weekend. We got 3 days to do it. Overreaction for me is obvious because it will segue into a topic that we will have at 7 o'clock, but I don't need to see any more from Jack Caglione. I know I'm your fanboy, the guy that screams for the mountaintops since February, said he should start the season on the major league roster. Maybe I was right. Who knows? 5 home runs, 4 days, put on a show on Twitter for everybody over the weekend. Everybody's attention was there. The guy's got it. The guy's proven it. He's a 35 home run guy today, this season. Even our boss tweeted out, made the long run to Kansas to put a 40-1 bet on.
He got exercising. Good for him. Good for him. He was exercising. Told
me the Bills were going to get blow the Chiefs out in the AFC Championship game, and Cags wouldn't be up here until 2026. He literally looked me in the eyes. Nathan goes, Dusty, you do realize this is a fun bit, but he's not going to be up for until next year. I said, okay.
And he ran to Kansas. Like, how many miles was that? Do you think that
probably
he ran?
15.
Yeah, probably 15 there and back and everything. Did he hit the food truck on that road, Donahoe Road, or anything like that? Do we know? But anyway,
famous football coach. Blue Springs High School.
Kelly Donahoe. That's who the street's named after. Who have for your overreaction this week, Nathan?
Well, we were just talking about Detroit and all these other teams in the AL Central. My overreaction is that the Yankees are the team to beat, and they're better than they were last year.
Mm. Yeah, they are.
That anemic offense last fall was so frustrating from the Royals' perspective, because outside of Garrett Cole, they had no pitching. Right. They would win Garrett Cole starts and hang on and pray during the rest. Well, they lose Garrett Cole, they lose Juan Soto, and somehow now they have two trump cards in that rotation.
Well, Carlos, because it goes to show you, you don't spend money on one player.
Oh, 100%.
You know?
Yeah, well, kind of, because Carlos Rodon is back to being Carlos Rodon, and then Max Fried, who they did spend money on, is no one's talking about him here. He could rival Scooble for that AL Cy Young. The guy's got like a 1.2 ERA. Now, the Yankees are like by far and away in terms of run differential the best team in the league. And so my overreaction is that the road through the playoffs this year, even outside of the Central, is more difficult as well.
Yeah. They get Paul Skeens.
Yeah, and they get Skeens at the trade deadline this year too. Hey. I mean that would be a smart trade. It really would be. If you're the Pittsburgh Pirates, trade Paul Skeens now. He's never going to have more trade value ever than what he has at this point in time. And so they'll screw that up as well and keep him. My overreaction is that Knicks Pacers is going 7, because I think right now we're in a state where basketball needs the Knicks and Pacers to go 7. I don't know how many people are getting excited about the potential of an Oklahoma City, Indiana NBA Finals, right? That could potentially happen sooner rather than later. Oklahoma City's now up 3-1. The Pacers win tonight. They'll be up 3-1. They got the game 5 going back to the Garden, so at least we get another episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm courtside to see all that. But they need the Knicks to stay around as long as they possibly can, because an NBA Finals featuring Oklahoma City and Indiana probably doesn't do much for anybody. And now that Caitlin Clark is injured and she's going to be out for a couple of weeks, basketball right now needs the Knicks and needs that Eastern Conference final to go 7 to keep people interested in the sport. Because with Caitlin Clark out now for 2 weeks, the WNBA is not going to garner any interest whatsoever. And an Oklahoma City, Indiana final is probably going to be, I would guess, and I could be wrong, but I'm going to guess, probably the lowest rated NBA finals of all time.
Well, I guess more people will go to the Indiana Pacers game in the playoffs than they would to the Fever game in regular season now that they actually have something.
Yeah, that's true. There may be more Pacer fans there than Fever fans, yeah.
Good to be in Indiana.
The only finals I would think of, and I don't have numbers in front of me, maybe that Bucks-Suns finals a few years ago might have been pretty
maybe.
Is that
the bubble finals?
No, that was the Lakers and somebody else. I think people were, because you had nothing else to do during the bubble, right? And so they gave us an opportunity, you know, to kind of watch something at that point in time. So I don't know how the ratings were for that. I think, and if I'm not mistaken, and I could be, the Spurs' first championship in like 99 when they beat the Knicks, I think that was a low-rated one because it was San Antonio. And, you know, even though the Knicks were in, it was still San Antonio, and that's a kind of a smaller television market, if you will. But I just have to think right now they're going to bring that fixer referee in who they had in the game the other night that comes in and usually, you know, sides with the team that's losing, and worked out well for them to move that thing to get the Knicks a victory on Saturday night or Sunday night, whenever it was. I think they got to have that guy ref in every game to make sure that this thing does at least go 7 and you keep the Knicks around for as long as you possibly can. Because without the Knicks right now, basketball is not a very interesting sport.
For the obvious, 2020 was one of the worst, which was
really?
The COVID year, which was Lakers Heat. The next worst was last year when it was Celtics Mavericks. It series saw a low significant drop in viewership compared to previous years. The series averaged a 5.8 rating and 11.3 million viewers.
What do you think the reason was? Because Celtics Dallas are two premier teams, one of the best players in the league, obviously, before they traded him.
I think a majority of people hate Boston.
Yeah, Celtic fatigue.
Care. Yep. And then I don't think a lot of people like watching Luka. I don't know. I mean, that's where he was last year in Dallas, and it was him versus
the Celtics. Nico guy didn't like watching him either. He traded him to the Lakers.
Yeah, so, it was very low last year. This year, probably going to be in that same vicinity.
That's interesting.
The cachet of, like, Steph and KD and those Golden State teams is brought to light there for me, because the last time Boston went there, it was against Golden State. They also had that final against Toronto pre-pandemic. You would think ratings would have been low there. So I'm surprised that the Boston-Dallas ratings
were
so low.
And, stunned by it.
That's what Google says. They seem to be more right than we are.
No, I mean, I'm just stunned by that. Like, it's like, wow, okay.
Well, I was going back in my head, and I'm like, well, we had the LeBron years and then the Steph versus LeBron years and the Miami Heat years and the Kobe years, and Boston being in a final being low didn't even cross my mind.
Yeah, but I guess you have to have the marquee player in there, whether it be LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, whoever you feel is that marquee player in the NBA. It's more than the marquee teams, and when the marquee teams are there, people get fatigued. But it's funny because the World Series, Dodgers, Yankees, highest we've seen in decades, you know?
Yeah, two biggest markets in baseball.
Right.
Coming up on the other side, we call it a tough Tuesday during the football season. We call it the hot corner during the baseball season. We dive into that with Fesco, Nathan, and Dusty here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Back in on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Nathan with you, Dusty, myself, and Bob here with you on a Tuesday. A little gloomy, a little gray. Please, son. Please, son.
Gotta get some sun, man. I think we're looking at clouds and clouds and clouds until potentially Friday this week. But the good news is it's already Tuesday, so we can power through together and get us out to the other side of this just doom and gloom, man. It's just like that June swoon is already coming in, and nobody wants to look at that cloud, that nastiness. Just give us the sun. I'm watching all these baseball games everywhere else in the country. It seems like it's beautiful and sunny, and then we look outside, and it's all cloudy and whatnot. So it's time for summer to get here. I think everybody's ready for that.
No doubt. Partly sunny Wednesday, 50% chance of rain for Thursday, mostly sunny Friday, mostly sunny Saturday, mostly sunny Sunday, sunny on Monday.
Yeah, should be a good weekend, and then rain again a week from today. So hopefully the weekend's good and it's beautiful, because there's a lot going on this weekend that we need to get to as well. So.
No doubt. Going to be in Omaha, so hopefully those games stay dry, stay nice. Never been to Omaha. Can't wait to go out there with Mr. Gold and have a little date weekend with Alex.
That's fun. That'll be good, the two of you guys.
It's a bromance.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're both the single guys at the station. I hear the ads all the time with Alex saying he's the single guy, so it's a nice romantic weekend. Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. So we get to our Hot Corner Tuesdays here during the baseball season. For me, it's pretty simple. We got the news this weekend that Caitlin Clark had like a strain. She's going to be injured. She'll be out 2 weeks. What is it, like a groin strain or a hamstring strain? I forgot what the injury is.
I think they said a quad strain, whatever it is. Yeah.
Something that's going to keep her out for 2 weeks. It's going to be tough, or it's going to be a hot corner this next couple weeks for the WNBA. Their star is out. We'll talk about it a little bit more in depth later on in the show, but this is something that's just, you know, it's to give it, you know, your fantasy analogy. This is when your number one pick in your fantasy team is hurt for, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. You're like, what am I going to do now? This is what the WNBA is doing. Okay, Paige, maybe this is time for you to step up. Angel Reese, maybe go find another target to be a heel against. Mm-hmm. Bring some sort of creativity into your sport, because your number one sell, your number one person, your face of your league that's rejuvenated this league to a new standard is going to be out for 2 weeks. And I'm tough on these Tuesdays to see what those ratings will be and what the attention will be for the WNBA with their superstar out.
Well, I think it's going to be a real wake-up call for the WNBA. And I hope it is a real wake-up call for the WNBA. And they realize that they are a Caitlin Clark league and nobody else really matters at this point in time, right? And I hope they have these 2 weeks where Caitlin Clark doesn't play. The coverage of the WNBA isn't like it is when Caitlin Clark plays. The attendance isn't going to be there. They're already talking about drastic ticket price drops in games that Caitlin Clark was supposed to be in that she's not going to be in. And I hope this is a 2 week period, and it's only a 2 week period, where the WNBA realizes, and the players, and Angel Reese in particular, all realize that, hey, we can really truly all benefit from Caitlin Clark. We need to embrace Caitlin Clark. And that's been my message since this whole thing started with the WNBA and her relationship with Angel Reese out there trying to play that heel. You've got to embrace Caitlin Clark, because eventually she's going to be gone. And are you guys going to be able to do enough to set up the league for the next? You know, Jordan set it up. LeBron setting it up. You know, Anthony Edwards setting the league up. There's constantly people there setting the league up. The WNBA needs to embrace Caitlin Clark, just like the golfers did with Tiger Woods, and everybody is going to benefit from the Caitlin Clark effect. And I think these 2 weeks will be a great wake-up call for the WNBA to realize that they need Caitlin Clark more than she needs the WNBA, quite frankly, at this point in time.
Do you think anybody runs away for the rest of the year with these 2 weeks out, or do you think they'll just be pining and waiting for her to come back?
What do you mean runs away?
Like, they just won't watch it anymore because they'll lose interest for 2 weeks because she won't be playing.
And then
at minimum 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Say it's three. Will they come back when she comes back?
That'll be the interesting thing to see if they do. Yeah, I think if she comes back, I think people do come back because you want to see Caitlin Clark. She's one of the great athletes in our time right now. Not just WNBA player. She's one of the great draws, if not the biggest draw out there right now. So I think she goes away for a couple of weeks. People realize the league isn't as good, obviously, without Caitlin Clark from a storyline standpoint, from a production standpoint, from a monetary standpoint. And they realize in a couple of weeks, man, we got to get behind Caitlin Clark and support everything she does. And enough fighting with Caitlin Clark and trying to be people that don't like Caitlin Clark. Let's embrace Caitlin Clark, because with Caitlin Clark, we're all making a lot of money.
No doubt. Who's your hot corner on a Tuesday?
Well, I think for me, it's Massey. And I think this is the guy now who you circle that needs to pick it up. When Jack Caglione is ready to come up, Massey seems like kind of the odd man out at this point in time. It's not going to be Garcia. It's not going to be India. It's not going to be Isbell. It's not going to be Drew Waters. It's not going to be Vinny. It's not going to be Salvi. It's not going to be anybody else on this team. I think Michael Massey is the guy that's on my hot corner right now, because I think the clock is ticking on Michael Massey, and I think he will be the guy that goes if and when Jack Caglione comes up. Not that that's breaking news or anything like that, but Massey has been given a great opportunity and, quite frankly, hasn't taken advantage of that opportunity.
Nathan, you got a hot corner?
As a 489 OPS for Massey. I mean, it's not playable.
No, it's not.
My hot corner is going to be Anthony Edwards. I know we just touched on him in setting up the league. He's averaging under 5 points in the fourth quarter each game of this series so far. And didn't even get a shot off in the first quarter last night.
Right, he really is dissipating as the game moves on. And he said something ridiculous at the end of the game last night. I'm not playing bad. I'm just not shooting enough. He was like 5 of 13. That's a lot.
That's exactly the reason why he's my hot corner. He said, Julius Randle and I were just covered well. The Thunder did well. It's, oh, okay. So, Anthony Edwards, are you going to be the superstar that we think that you are and break out of that slump, get around a good defense? Or is your plan, hey, we're going to rely on Dante DiVincenzo, and each year I'm going to get a gentleman's sweep in the Western Conference Finals? I mean, which one is it?
Well, let me ask you guys this. Where do you draw the line between a superstar needing to take over a game versus another team just kicked your ass that day? Where is that? Because I don't know where that line is. Because I could argue either way, like, you got to do more, you're the superstar. But then there's the five other guys that are paid to kick your ass, too, that are paid professionals out there. So let me ask you guys this, and the text line as well, as we kind of take a right-hand turn here. Where do you guys rank that versus, this guy needs to step up and be big versus, hey, this other team of professionals just happened to shut you down that night, too?
I think you saw it in game one against the Knicks and Pacers when Halliburton towards the end was, you know, getting assists and making plays, making shots. Whereas I think some guys, I think that's where the gene happens, because I think that's where you see this sort of development start, where quarterbacks in the NFL you see kind of dissipate when the game gets heavy. Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs just had that gene. Guys on Sunday would go up against Tiger Woods and have a 3-shot lead going into the back nine. Tiger wins the tournament by 2. They just get underneath that pressure, and some guys don't have it. Some guys rise to the occasion. Fourth quarter numbers show that Ant is, you know, maybe just having an off day or an off tournament or an off, you know, round when it comes to the fourth quarter. But again, like, when you set yourself up to be that guy, you are judged when the lights are the brightest. So sometimes, and I do think the Thunder are going to win this series in 5 games. I think they're the better team. I think that 40-point victory on Saturday night I think that was just more of a, hey, it's not our game. It's, you know, we can lose this one. We can rest. We don't have to worry about it. We know that we're better. We know that we'll win. They came back last night and won by 2. They go back to Oklahoma City and play play Thursday. And they could win the series there. Like you said, gentlemen sweep. You got one in Minnesota. Congratulations. You got beat last night. We go back to OKC. We win. We rest. We hope Knicks and Pacers go 7. June 5th, we play game one.
June 5th, you got game one. Right. And what you mentioned there about the gene, you know, genes happen. Not Gene Watson or anything like that. But we're talking about, like, you have that gene,
Watson,
right?
Watson, yes!
You have that ability to take it to the next level. And there aren't many athletes that do have that gene. And so I know everybody wants Anthony Edwards to be that face, to be that guy, to be that leader of the NBA. but maybe he's just not that guy, right? Like there are certain guys that aren't able to handle the pressure of being that guy, being that face, being that superstar, and they're better as a role player, as an ancillary player, right? LeBron, Michael Jordan, there's not many of these guys out there, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, that are truly the guy. And sometimes we want guys to be the guy, but maybe they're just not capable of being that guy. And that's why I ask about Anthony Edwards. Does he have that gene? Was it the other team that just shut him down? Or does he just not have the ability to do what needs to be done in those big time situations?
Well, Bob, I think fans don't give the fact that there are five other professionals paid to kick their ass enough credit most of the time.
We never do.
When it comes to Anthony Edwards, that, I mean, the words Michael Jordan were said when he came into the league, when it came to this killer attitude that he had supposedly. So it's the comment that bothers me. Not to compare the two, but like Vinny Pasquantino would have said, I don't care how I played. We didn't win the game, so I didn't play good enough.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's the response. Like, next time we need to play better. The train of thinking of, well, they just beat me. I don't know what you guys are talking about. It's like, okay, well, so now you're that team that's just going to go to the Western Conference Finals every year, and then Luka will get through and get his one. SGA will get through. Maybe next year it's like Sengun and the Rockets get through. And then Wimby, like, if they just played better and that's all we can do about it, you're going nowhere.
And then he'll request a trade to be out of Minnesota.
Right, exactly. Right. And that's absolutely where we're headed right now, because he's not going to do enough. They're going to lose the series. The town's going to turn on him. He's going to want out. July 1st can't get here soon enough with the NBA trade deadline.
You guys mentioned Ant and this sort of spotlight ticking on what can be great. Aaron Judge is about to be on the clock, because he's going to have another historic year, another MVP performance. The playoffs are going to happen, and he's going to be on the clock. And it ain't going to be Minnesota. It's going to be New York. And that light's going to be real bright. That's going to be Broadway light, exit stage left. If you can't handle the heat, then it's going to be tough, because he's one of those guys, man. Like, we're waiting to see that moment, to see that happen in the playoffs. And if it does, he's good. If it doesn't, it's going to be tough.
If he hits 400 this year,
mm-hmm.
will there be anybody in the history of sports under more pressure in the postseason than what Aaron Judge will be under this year? Dude. In all sports. In all sports, will anybody have more pressure on them than what Aaron Judge is going to have on him this year if he hits 400 for the regular season?
Yeah, I mean, because regular season, like,
doesn't matter.
Like you said, regular season doesn't matter in New York. Regular season doesn't matter in Kansas City because of what has been done.
That's right.
In the past, under one guy. If Aaron Judge had a World Series in his belt and was a hero last year in the playoffs and they won that World Series, he could hit 250 this year and no one would give a damn.
No one would care. No one would care. But if he hits 400 this year and doesn't do anything in the playoffs, nobody's going to care that he hit 400 in the regular season either.
They're going to say trade him. Coming up on the other side, somebody you never trade, somebody that could be maybe a magical unicorn in your franchise, is showing all of that power in the minor leagues. We talk Jack Caglione for the next 10 minutes here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new Spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.